Buckle up for a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Very excited. I am joined in the studio by three legends. We've got two, then there's Donny Fisvate, and then your engineer or whatever title that I've got wrong. I've got Deirdre, I've got Grant, and I've got Adrian in the studio with me today. How are you guys going?
Kia ora.
We're good.
Hello.
Now, Adrian, what title should I have actually given you there?
Mister. but piano builder.
Piano builder?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Specifically, do you build a different piano for each project?
Yes. So I have a factory in Mosgiel. And essentially, I am building two pianos for a Swiss customer right at the minute.
Cool.
Yeah. And they're big pianos, like they're the biggest pianos in the world. So
wow.
They have the same normal amount of keys, but they've got very long strings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you learned something new every day? Now, we have you in here to talk about your new album, Silent Howl, and your launch gig tomorrow at RDC Espresso.
That's right.
Yep. Very exciting stuff.
It is exciting. We're very excited. We just want to, talk about the good day it's going to be.
Yeah.
Starts at 2 o'clock, and RDC's a great little cafe. It's good to support Gabe. Adrian's here because he recorded the album live at King Edward Court because he used to have a garage there, which was your studio.
Very cool room. I miss that room. Yeah.
So the kind of live sound is the album. No overdubs, nothing. Just two days maybe.
Wow, 2 days.
And some whiskey, because I think we all had sore throats back then. And that was November.
And it, makes the writing process easier. Yeah.
We're repeating that experience for the gig because we've got croaky throats as well.
It's the season. So much pollen.
Well, according to your website, did you make an amazing cup of tea?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can do. I put my mind to it.
Yeah.
It's true.
I think the hot toddies with chamomile tea, lemon, and Niue and honey.
Top the bill.
That's, and a bit of whiskey.
Yeah.
That's the recipe to go for.
Yeah. And the recipe for a great album.
Well,
I think we were drinking those when we were recording it.
I think we might have been.
We started celebrating early.
Honey.
But we didn't get it finished.
It's typical Tiny Pieces of Eight. Kick out the stalls, slowly. And then,
Tell our listeners, for anyone who doesn't know, kind of about the creation of your mutual project, your musical collective.
Well, this is, I have to say, the third release as Tiny Pieces of Eight. The first EP was Deirdre collected together a group of people back when it was called, the EP was called Tiny Pieces of Eight.
That's right.
And then from then on, the band formed around that collection of songs, and that was about 12 years ago now, I think.
Yeah, 2013, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So we toured that, and then that was also recorded at King Edward Court in a studio space up there with Forbes Williams did the production for that.
Did a great job.
Yeah, fantastic.
Room 216, that one.
Room 216. So that was sort of our clubhouse for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
And then second album, which came out on vinyl, She Shanties for Frank, that was also recorded up there by Forbes. And so we had to keep the tradition alive by finishing off the third
to
album.
Charm. Yeah. And, we went downstairs instead of up.
Where's all the difference?
Well, kind of outside a little bit. Isn't that right, Adrian? Just kind of.
Yeah, well, it was sort of like a lean-to.
Yeah.
But it was like a really concrete room. And so all the sound stayed in the room. Like, it was quite, the acoustic was quite neat. Yeah. We captured that, I think.
We did. Yeah, I think you're right. I think rooms do have a vibe, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, everything has a vibe.
Yeah.
That room did. Because at one point there was some weird harmonic A.
I was thinking of that on the way here.
I think there was.
Silent Howl. I think
Silent
it might
Howl,
have been.
Maybe.
Yeah, the room started resonating at the same frequency as the song was in.
Wow.
And we couldn't figure out where the sound was coming from, and we never found out exactly.
Who was playing that note?
Who was playing that note? On the recordings you could hear it, but none of us were actually playing that sound.
Yeah.
And for us as a band, we love that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like the hidden, the invisible member
hidden
of the band.
Yeah.
So what was the driving force behind this album?
Ooh, well, I think every 7 years or so, a bit like when cells renew, we tend to record something. We're very slow at recording. Every 7 years is quite a while. But it seems to happen like roughly.
The momentum builds up.
Yeah. And actually, I was talking to someone today and they were like, oh, Camel in the Needle. I remember you doing that, Deej, back in 80-something or other. And I was like, what? A good friend and another musician, and I would not have believed it, but it's true.
Wow.
So, yeah, things percolate a long time for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we tend to work on the songs all the time and adjust them because we do a lot of improvisation within the song structures as well. So things grow and change and develop.
Mm.
And so the recordings that we've done sort of capture a particular moment, but then when we play them live, they're different again as well. We're never very good at sort of cookie cutter stuff. We like to keep it really fresh and make things up on the spot as well. So
it's more of an experience.
It's more of an experience here than it. The set list's a menu rather than a plan.
What were the main differences with this album compared to the previous two?
Because it was live, I think.
Yeah.
It was like a real, it was a bit more challenging maybe to let go of fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not, you know, because you're going to stuff things up.
It's a bit of a step over the edge.
But Adrian, he has good ears, and he also has good mics and stuff in the room.
What was your experience with it, Adrian?
Well, it was my first time doing anything like like big like that
and
like a band. I mean, I've done piano, and that's really about it. It's pianos and singers, but like a band, and it was like, right, we've got to have mics. And so I think we had like 5 or 6 mics on the drums. We had mics everywhere. They were just, the whole room just filled up with mics, and how many channels we had, and it was just like, right, I can hear a noise over there, what's that? And it's like we sorted things out, and it just was fun. Like, it was a really fun vibe.
Yeah.
I really loved it, and I'd love to do it again. Like,
I'm sure we will.
Do we have to wait
again.
7 years? Or?
No, probably not. That's a long time.
I think we might need to speed up a bit because the songs are banking up quite quickly. waiting to be seen.
I can afford it.
Yeah.
What would you say the kind of through line in terms of any kind of themes or motifs was for this one?
A lot of the material we work with comes from a very distant place inside us. Like, both Deirdre and I write the songs, and we come with the material to the band, and then things become developed as a group. And so it's always been a really organic process. It's not like someone comes in with a really fixed idea of what it's going to be.
Mm.
And so for us to be together, because Rosa lives up in Auckland now, and she came down for the recordings, after being up there for a while, so it was just a lovely reunion, and it was just a chance for us to bond back together again as a group of people, because we had been playing together for quite a number of years, so it was really special.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of strong feelings and connection between the people in the band, and I think that's where it comes through in the music as well.
I don't know, the songs, I guess, to me, sort of grouped around, they seem to be naturally fitting into 8 songs that seem to fit the bunch of songs. I don't know if I had a strong idea about what we were going to do, but then on the day,
Just seemed to slot together. Like, we're working on a new set of songs at the moment, and I brought a couple of songs in, and Deirdre's got a couple, and we put them together, and suddenly we go, this actually works as a whole piece, as if it was planned that way. So those happy accidents are really, really important to us, that we don't overthink things and we just let things develop in an organic way.
Yeah. Yep. Beautiful. And this one, you gave us a CD. Is it just on CD? Do you have any plans to press it?
Well, I'd love to, but it's so expensive.
It is.
You know? And I found a whole bunch of records the other day out at the factory where I rent some space at Adrian's, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get rid of them. So maybe we'll sell them off at a koha to kind of price at the gig tomorrow. So if you want a cheapy record to help fund the CD.
Because
even CD making is quite expensive, eh?
I mean, it's also, it is nice to have a physical item as well
for
nowadays.
Sure.
I mean, I was disinterested in CDs for a while, but actually people do like coming to the gigs and getting something.
Mm.
And we used DigiArt out at Port Chalmers to print the covers for us. They're fantastic. And Stebbings up in Auckland did the CDs for us. So, yeah, it's the easiest way for us to get something, you know, a small set of CDs together and sell.
And it's a great way to support artists as well. You know, it's a very tangible
way,
any kind of physical merchandise.
Yeah,
and it had a beautiful cover. You said Rosa did the artwork.
Rosa Cameron did the artwork. Absolutely gorgeous. It's, Yeah, it's on that poster there, which is it's just pretty. And Celeste Grant's daughter did the.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Celeste Howard's an artist in Melbourne, and she did the artwork on the
poster.
On the poster, and
then inside the CD is a picture of Che Guevara's mum, because my good friend Tony Renoff, he listened to it and went, "Oh, it's the sort of music Che Guevara's mum would listen to." So that's who's on the inside. If anyone ever wonders what who's
amazing.
That lady, and then Grant's stepson did the.
Max, Max from Artify Productions did the put the artwork on the CD for us, so it's a real family and sort of connected people relationships project, which is the way we like to work.
So it's just a four track too, by the way, Adrian. You can maybe talk about that. That was another challenge. It was all done.
Yeah, well, I only had had a whole bunch of mics, but I didn't have like lots of channels to put everyone into, and so eventually it's going to go stereo left and right, but to you just sort of had to get things pretty well set up on the day and just go with it. You
yeah.
know, there's no, not too much post playing around with the faders and things. It's just we were just going for it. Yeah. And I think the other thing about that room, I think because it was it like the last hurrah for that room.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Because you were moving.
I was moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of special.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you had a lot in it.
No, it was quite empty, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. It was kind of interesting.
It kind of worked really well.
Apart from all the portraits on the walls.
Yeah, who were watching.
Who were watching us as we played.
Witnesses. Oh, yes, right. Witnesses. Yeah, I'm sure they helped.
And
how does it feel going into playing a live album live?
Ooh, wow. Quite hard, actually. I mean, we had a good jam the other night, though. Because we don't often all get together. We've got 2-3 people in the band who have toddlers.
Yeah.
Rosa's not with us, of course, for this. She's in Auckland, but so anyway, we don't always get together all together. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But we had a jam last night, and it was like, oh, yeah, it was so much fun, eh?
Yep.
It was really noisy, and
yeah,
that was in the dungeon at King Edward Court. That's the Arts Hub, unofficially.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
DCC. You're awesome. Hold on, they didn't do anything. I was just there already.
Yeah, King Edward Court.
Yeah, we pushed that one.
We did. Really go, yeah. Adrian.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That was our whole saga. And I'm glad we did it. You know, we got it out there, but, you know. Yeah.
There was no one nibbling at our hook to take the bait.
So there was a risk of losing the building when it went up for sale, and you guys were thinking of organising to try and get some funding to
yeah.
Well, it's very important. Practice spaces, recording spaces in Dunedin, you know, it's so vital.
Studios.
And especially that place, you know, I know so many friends that go through those doors and use that space,
I you
know.
You do.
Yeah.
And it was like this big secret thing, and it was like,
Well, we did try, and you can't say we didn't.
Mm.
And
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And that didn't help that the previous landlord was quite a. Dodgy character.
Mm, yeah, as they often are.
Yeah, dodgy cat.
Mm.
Now, when you both walked through the door, you've been here before, you've been into Radio 1 before. You were the editor of Critic.
I was part of a cooperative of Critic editors back in 1983.
And you, Deirdre, you're station manager.
Boy. Yeah, I think it was it's a bit of a blur, the 80s, to be honest. I think it was 87, 88 or something. And program director, but I do know that I had probably the most fun in my whole freaking life here.
Yeah.
It was awesome. The license to, you know, do what you want really, within reason.
Mm.
And even if you got in trouble, you'd just plead, you know, oh, but I didn't know.
We still do that from time to time.
I hope that freedom still exists.
It totally does. And over the years, you know, seeing the kind of creative space of Dunedin morph and change, how has that been?
I do believe, you know, definitely life is full of, like, things go around that come around again, you know, like we were just talking earlier today about that, and basically feel like, you know, people, the less space you have to perform or even practice whatever, things don't die, they just get stronger and they come up again, you know, it's just like a plant. You know, the seed, you're just not gonna, the music in Dunedin will only get better, in my opinion,
yeah,
because you've got more to fight against, you kick those pricks, man, and don't stop. That's my advice.
Absolutely.
Because, the more you've got to push against, there's the potential to really rise above that kind of, I don't know, ignorance in a way. I mean, I think a lot of people in this town and DCC, and I shouldn't keep saying that, but I don't think they quite understand the Dunedin sound is like it's more than just a time.
Oh, yeah.
It's a boom.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
The conditions of the city that's what makes the art so good, and that's why people keep making music.
Totally.
And we're still in a position where it's very strong. We have our student radio awards and four Dunedin bands up for best group, still very strong.
And then none of
strong.
That surprises me. In fact, I'm always really happy to go somewhere and, oh my God, there's this whole new group of, young people doing stuff, and it's just great. And
so much going on.
It is. It is. In your world, Adrian, with some of the classical things and people, that used to come through your room, like young singers and piano players, and so wow, heaps of talent. Yeah.
Because, Adrian, you run events out at the workshop as well. Like, you also have recitals and things like that.
I live in hope at the moment. I'm trying to. Actually, we do, because, Michelle Alvey runs the National Flash Fiction group, and she brings a lot of, the poetry into the shop, and so they use the space, and we get, 50, 60, 70 people in there, like we used to do at the old room.
Yeah.
And so I love hosting things.
Mm.
I try to do as much as I can. But but there's always about 30 other things I can do when I walk in the door, so it's very hard for me to allocate my time to certain things. I mean, the other big piano at the moment is up in Timaru, so there's a whole lot going on there with concerts, which I'm not even involved with at the moment. But so I try to do as much as I can, just to bring people together with music and art. I just love it.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And that's what this gig can do, if people go along to it.
Yeah,
10 p.m. tomorrow, Koha.
Absolutely, Koha, whatever you feel. And if you're just not feeling it, then that's fine. Just bring yourself. We don't care about the cash so much.
Plenty of coffee and cheese rolls.
Yeah, cheese rolls are, magnificent.
And great coffee. The $5 filter bottomless coffee is
it's a
great love of mine.
Treasure.
We're starting to embrace the matinee gigs, the afternoon gigs, rather than the evening ones.
Yeah.
And that seems to be working quite well for a lot of people.
Yeah.
They go, what a relief, I can come out in the afternoon and not have to stay out late.
The toddlers are asleep.
There's a few with toddlers in tow at the sound check with earmuffs on. So that's how we roll.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to play a track off the album. So just the album launches tomorrow.
Yes.
So this is kind of a little sneak peek, actually Access Radio got it before us. But
Well, they just had a morning slot free, so we went with that one.
That's okay. They can have the win on that one.
Thanks a lot, Lily. Thanks for
having good.
Us.
Oh, good.
This is great. Lovely to be here.
And before you go, I'd love to hear something about this track, so I'm going to play Silent Howl to end off the interview. Do you want to introduce the track?
Yeah, so this is a song I wrote a couple of years back. It is a little bit of a song about mourning and fragility. And, it was just lovely. We're playing it tomorrow as well when we'll play most of the songs off the album.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Lily.
I hope many, many people head out to RDC tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Awesome.
And see the live album live. But here on Radio 1, 91 FM is Silent Howl from Tiny Pieces of Eight.
Thanks for choosing a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are more just like this at r1.co.nz.